You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I did not feel comfortable playing music over that interview. It was pretty, again, my thanks to Dave Furness, General Type, Brigadier General Type, United States Marine Corps, for joining us last week, or earlier this week, and just talking about those issues. To that end, the head of the Marine Corps Recruiting Command is going to join us next week. Major General Paul Kennedy, another friend of mine, another battle buddy. And, what I think is the best part of these interviews is you get to hear them footnote. You know, it's easy to say, make arguments like, yeah, you should do this, or we should do this, why haven't you done that? But when smart guys come on and footnote the issue, explain the issue in more detail, you understand the legal parameters sometimes of what they can do. It's, in this case, certainly the First Amendment and Fourth Amendment, you know. My reaction to, you mean we can't just troll the internet looking for these kind of sites? Well, you're going to get into unlawful search and seizure issues relative to the Fourth Amendment. Oh, didn't see that coming. Really? Yeah. Well, yeah, and these are things that have to be sorted out. So do we want to act quickly? But yeah, but we have a constitution. People have rights. And I will tell you this, that one of the things that will happen is you're going to see high-profile ACLU attorneys take on some of these cases defending people against unlawful search and seizure and their right to free speech. And I guess we're going to find out where somebody's right to free speech starts and ends, and somebody else's right to privacy starts and ends. So, but I think it's the complexities of these issues are very, 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 very interesting. And the Marine Corps has always had kind of this informal public affairs policy. Informal? I think I just made up a word. How about informal? And maybe formal. You know, the whole, Marines are the Marine Corps' best advertisement. And when you interview them, they always seem, their candor is pretty funny. And, but it always serves the Marine Corps well. Because they tend to be good, tough young Americans. And they say funny stuff, and they tell the truth when asked. And so, I think the nation needs more, of Dave Furness. The Commandant goes on TV, and he gets wire brushed. I got it. But that's not the end of the story. The story is the people that are dealing with these issues and what they deal with. And the other thing I do believe, though, is people have to pay. People have to pay. And I don't mean junior people. I mean senior people have to pay. And like I said, the issue at Parris Island, you want to cure that thing? Right? Drag a colonel through the street. Drag a general through the street. Again, the term, everything your unit does or fails to do. When your unit fails and somebody dies, and you the investigation reveals a toxic environment that you allowed, well, he didn't know. Well, no, it's just everything your unit, I learned that at OCS, everything your unit does or fail to do. If you want to cure the problem and not play whack-a-mole with that problem too, If you want to cure the problem, you have to send a message that's unequivocally clear. And when you hold the highest guy accountable, guess what? People get that message. And so, again, I think action for the Marine Corps will speak louder than words. And so, again, we've had the classes. Everybody knows. I don't think there's anybody that hears this message that goes, well, that's confusing. I don't really understand. You know, come on, man. Come on. We've all heard this stuff. Right? And I'm sure that this is a subject of much discussion now around the Marine Corps. So I think it's absolutely wonderful. More exposure is better. So to that end, you're going to meet Paul Kennedy next week. He is a native of the Nutmeg State, the state of Connecticut. He and I met. He is a first lieutenant. I was a captain at the basic school. And he is now the head of what's known as MCRIC, Marine Corps Recruiting Command. So we'll talk to him. And he's a funny guy, smart guy, battle buddy from 2004 in Iraq when he was the battalion commander of the 3rd Battalion, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, known as the Magnificent Bastards. And they fought in Ramadi. And so so Paul is now a Major General in the Marine Corps. So we'll talk to him. And again, I don't know, but you'll enjoy the conversation. He's another smart guy. These are not easy issues. You know, how does the Marine Corps stay what it is, which is a rugged, tough, kick-the-door-in organization, and yet still be a respectful, that's 90, somewhere between 92 and 93-94% male, that's 60% under the age of 26, that turns over 100,000 of the 180,000 person organization every 36 months? How do we fight the respect fight institutionally to make it all work? And those aren't easy issues. And then most importantly is not only how do you do it, how do you sustain it? How do you sustain it? So so I think it's good, you know, and again, I probably shouldn't say this, but working on the Commandant coming on again too. I was speaking to people in Marine Corps Public Affairs, and they said, hey, you know, the Commandant would love to come on again and talk about these things. His schedule is difficult, though. So we're working on that. So I think it's, and again, I think when you hear them, it is the best medicine for all of this. And, you know, just as General Amos, you know, General Furness alluded to it, but the Commandant having to parse his words because of some of the issues that were caused when General Amos came out so forcefully about the sexual assault thing. And then also some of General Amos's comments relative to, you know, the incident where Marines urinated on bodies in Afghanistan. And so, as a leader, though, what is your instinct? Your instinct is to come out and say, that's not us. We won't tolerate that. They're done. Okay? That's, you know, that's what people expect. That's what a leader does. To hear a leader parsing words, being measured, is not what people want to see in that situation. And so, you know, you generally just can be taken to task for doing that, but not for what was in his heart and the spirit of what he said. He was pissed. And I don't think it's a bad thing to let people know what your organization stands for and what it won't tolerate. So anyway, so looking forward to the discussions. Looking forward to the discussions. I would tell you this, though. What's lacking is senior enlisted doing the same thing. And I'll leave it at that. The senior enlisted, the sergeant majors of the Marine Corps need to get out in a public way. Not just to go talk to small groups of Marines, but in a public way. Let the American people know where they stand on these things. I think it's important. So we'll see. We'll see. I have invitations out to a variety of them. And as a group, they don't like to do this. for whatever reason. I'm not sure. But they don't particularly care to do this. So, and it's, I don't say that as a, maybe I do say it as a criticism. They need, their leaders in the Marine Corps, they need to be more out front. They need to be more out front. So anyway, as I said, segue from the interview with Dave Furness. And again, I just, I got a couple emails and a couple phone calls yesterday saying that was awesome. You know, the complexity of some of these issues, some of the things the Marine Corps has tried, some of the things that haven't worked, the frustrations, the legal aspect of it, and where the Marine Corps is headed, you know, when you pull the rock back from that, it tends to be a little bit more complex. But at the same time, don't tell me your problems. Get after this and get this done. So, and again, there's two separate and distinct arguments that go on, I think. One is, and they tend to get pushed together. One is the gender integration piece in combat arms MOSs, and then the other part is the harassment piece and then recruit training, how that's done. So I think that they tend to get pushed together. I don't think they belong together. I think it is perfectly consistent intellectually to say that, no, I think Marine Corps, women in the Marine Corps make an incredible contribution. However, I don't believe they belong in combat arms MOSs. And I think this fallacy that people want to say is that we're interchangeable parts. We're not interchangeable parts. And so I think, again, I think it's all part of an honest discussion. And I think as long as people are respectful and articulate, you can have that discussion. Okay? Because there is no doubt that women make a huge contribution to the Marine Corps. And the more high quality Marines that we can have, male, female, regardless, makes it a better force. But I do think that there is a slippery slope that the Marine Corps sometimes is afraid of, and to call a spade a spade. And I think they've done with the ground combat integration study, the conclusions the Marine Corps reached asking to be exempted from that were absolutely the right thing to do. But that's not the political agenda of guys like Ray Mabus and the Obama administration. So it's an issue that is complex. I think it needs to be looked at appropriately, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy doing All Marine Radio, having smart guys on, asking them the difficult questions, and then allowing them to footnote their answers, because that's, to me, the essence of articulate discourse. Which, as if you've listened to the program, I am critical of the nation because there simply isn't enough of it that goes on. So, with that said, we're going to check a couple news headlines after we hear Whitney Houston sing the national anthem, and then we'll continue with the program. We'll do a little cooking this morning here on a Friday as we head into the weekend. Thanks for listening on a Friday morning. Good morning to you. And I think one of the best renditions of the national anthem on Friday. Well done. Now, on to the 13-year-old. When she was 6, singing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wipe us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Another one of my kids, from the rotunda of the museum, known as the Cathedral, to we Catholic Marines, the voices of newly commissioned second lieutenants.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
We'll check the weather real quick on our way to talking about food. Let me read you a quick email before I do the weather. Hey Mac, the fall of Sangin is in the news. Yeah, you know, it makes me ill just to read that. You know, and you've heard me say in this program that history will judge Barack Obama harshly. Yeah, we're going to now, somebody's going to go pay for that real estate a second time. Nice. Well done. Well done. You know, being a weak nation has its issues. And one of them is that it's immoral to go ask people to die and then to turn and walk away from that sacrifice. So either get your head out of your ass and don't ask that of them, because it was the Obama administration that decided to go out there in the first place, not then only to turn around and walk away. So I don't know where that conundrum, you know, existed in the executive branch and the DOD or whatever. But if you don't think you're going to stay there and use it to make a difference, then why would you ask that sacrifice of the nation? Bullshit. Anyway, let me check the weather in an effort to keep true to my Friday ethos of trying to make it a little bit upbeat as we head into the weekend. Cloudy, rainy, and 41 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune, 55 and sunny. Granbury, Texas, it is 58 degrees and cloudy, so cooled off there. Up in North Dakota, a balmy 31 and cloudy. Torrey Nine Palms, 49 and sunny. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 49. That means it's cold in Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith, warm, 75 degrees in the middle of the night with cloudy skies. Okinawa, warmed up, 65, cloudy and dark. Fallujah, cloudy and 65. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 49. We're going to take a quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug. You can check out the full line of products at battlemug.com. The Battle Mug itself starts out with a 10.5-pound block of aluminum after milling, machining, and anodization. It's ready for you to make your own. Picatinny rails allow that. Anything you slap on your rifle, you can slap on your mug. So if you take it to the field, optical device, laser, light, all of the above, make it happen. And if it's going in your office, you can use those rails to mount emblems, flags, unit insignia, all kinds of cool things. So truly a unique gift. The handle is the M16 M4 carrying handle. Looks very cool. And as I've said repeatedly, if somebody invades your home, you can hit them with this, and they are, you'll knock them out. They have other, a lot of other cool products as well. So any commemorative event, any farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, Easter, you name it, it works. It's very cool. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the USA. So with that said, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get our All Marine Radio chef on, and we're going to talk a little bit of food.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. But the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
You know what? That never gets unfunny. I don't care.
It doesn't. And how many years have we been listening to it?
That is. I put that little thing together.
It's a killer.
It is. But that is hilarious. I laugh every time. I laugh every time. Actually, today there's things that make me smile. And that is one of them. But on Friday, this version of the national anthem is this one right here.
Yeah.
This Whitney Houston version from the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, I remember.
I mean, she crushed that. Absolutely. And I listen to it every week, but every week I love it. And then this little gem.
God bless America.
Makes me laugh every week because she was rolling around and singing God Bless America, you know, until you're like, Colleen, shut up, okay?
And how old was she?
She was five. She was five or six.
I remember the first time you played it, and I just thought it was the cutest, coolest thing I'd ever heard.
But what everybody loves about it is the end where she says, Done, Dad. And then she handed me back the microphone. Done, Dad. But no, it just, but that intro has the same, you know, makes me laugh. And especially that line, 0600. Oh my God, it's early. So anyway, Kim Holmes joins me. Had a birthday yesterday. So first of all, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's it like to turn 73?
Amazing. The fact that I'm still walking around just blows my mind.
Is it?
I've defied all odds. It's absolutely astounding to me. As hard as I played in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, 50s.
60s, 70s. Well, no, look, hey, so from the program, my favorite rendition of this.
Marilyn Monroe.
Losing her mind in public.
In front of his wife.
God and everybody. And him sitting there thinking, oh my God, she's lost her mind in public.
Yeah.
Who thought this was a good idea? Where's Peter Lawford and Frank Sinatra?
Mr. President, for all the things you've done.
Wearing that, what, skin-tight dress with all the sequins on it? Yeah, hello.
I wasn't a tight dress on dress. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I get a kick out of that one, too. That is funny. So happy happy birthday. Did you have a good time? Did you go out? What did you do on your birthday?
Well, my birthday was Wednesday, and Beth and I just went out to lunch at the museum dinner. And then Chad, we couldn't do it Wednesday, so he took us out for dinner last night, came over with a bottle of 18-year-old champagne.
Ooh.
And Beth had a beer and a shot, and then Chad and I pounded the bottle of champagne. We split it. And then we went over to my former restaurant, Skies, formerly known as Sanders 1907.
Okay.
And we had a good time over there and then came home. Chad, oh, God. Beth baked a coconut white cake and for my birthday on Wednesday. And it was, I don't know, 10-pounder. It was pretty heavy. And three layers. It was just stunning. Cream cheese icing.
Ooh.
And then Tuesday night, she baked it and put it in the fridge for to rest for a day.
Okay.
And it was all covered up. She had it hermetically sealed.
Yes.
And Tuesday night, she said, could we get into the cake? I says, hell no. Wait until my birthday. We're not touching that puppy.
Yeah.
God, tremendous restraint. And then it was midnight, 12:01 or something. And I came out from the bedroom and she was sitting on the couch. And I said, hey, Beth. You think I was born at 12:01?
Can I get in? So did you have the time argument? Or are we celebrating time? Are we celebrating time or day?
Yeah.
So did you get into the cake at 12:01?
No.
Oh,
no.
I would have.
Beth shooed me away, and then at 8 a.m. when I got up, I had a slice for breakfast. And I had a slice for dinner.
What happened to lunch? You didn't want to have any at lunch?
Well, there were some crumbs that I, when we got back from the museum from lunch, there was like a quart of a slice there, and I chowed that down before Beth caught me. And, she makes the best cakes, the best cheesecakes, cakes. And she's got your cherry pie.
Yeah.
Your family's cherry pie.
You know what I love about that is that she, Beth, shows great respect for my mom's recipes, and she sent me text messages when she's made it, and you know, to me it's very cool because my mother loved to cook, and that cherry pie is to die for. And You can find it on the web. You can find it on our website. Go to show notes and look at recipes, and that recipe's up there. But Beth has great respect for things culinary, and I, my mom would have loved it certainly, and so it always makes me smile when she does that.
It's the only pie we eat now, and about 2 weeks ago, Beth said, you know, I still have some cherries in to make another pie if you want. I said, no, just hold off until it gets warmer, and then we can have cherry pie every month. I don't care, but yeah, she does a great job on your family recipe, your mom's recipe.
It is awesome.
It's the best.
It is without a doubt. Trust me, fan. Let me read you an email. Hey, Mac. First of all, I want to wish Kim a happy birthday. It's been very cool meeting him through Allmarine Radio and enjoying the recipes that he has given us. So happy birthday to him. Does Kim have any life advice upon reaching the ripe age of 73? Kim, do you have any... Do you have any advice?
I actually do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me get a pen. I got to write this down.
Okay.
All right.
As hard as you play or whatever you do, no matter how old you are, you still have to stay tight with Peter Pan. And if you don't have Peter Pan in your heart, you're fucked. You just have to...
You didn't tell me you were still drunk. What the hell?
No. You just have to be young at heart. And I always say, God, you look so good. I says, well, I'm still tight with Peter Pan. The first time I saw Peter Pan was one of my memories with my late father. And I was 6 years old. And we were on Broadway. And saw Mary Martin on Broadway and Peter Pan. And Mary Martin, for those of you who don't know, was Larry Hagman's mother. The cat from Dallas,
right.
AR.
Yeah.
And so I've always been a fan for Peter Pan. it's real simple. You know, and you have to embrace every moment of your life, every generation, every 10 years, you get a little older and you do stupid shit when you're young and you get smart for a while and then you get old and, you should never stop learning and checking life out. That's all.
So Peter Pan is symbolic of being young, being inquisitive,
yes.
And being inquisitive.
Yes. And young at heart, and I mean, yeah, you know, it's not rocket science. It's just loving being on this planet for however long you're going to be on it, and the more you're on it, the more giddy you should become for making it as far as you've had.
What's the best piece of advice anybody's ever given you in your life? We'll get to cooking here in a minute, but we're talking life.
Yeah. Well, it just came to mind. I went off to prep school, and I guess I was 14, and my mom said to me, she said, now, son, you keep your zipper up.
So that's the advice you give?
No, I this was a funny thing. Cause I still laugh at it. Be kind to everyone. As hard as it may seem sometimes. Always take the high road.
That's not easy advice. Always take the high road because a lot of times in life, you're not feeling the high road.
Well, that's the challenge, Mac. Of course we feel pissed off, upset, down in the dumps. You never feel sorry for yourself. You always try and be positive in life. And little
Peter Pan.
And be good. Be a good citizen, you know. There's too much crap going on in this world for us to wallow in it. Just life's too short, you know.
All right. So the best advice ever.
Another thing I say is, you know, life's a garden. Dig it.
What's the biggest, since we're going to do a little bit of This Is Your Life, what's the biggest challenge, yeah. What's the biggest challenge you ever faced in your life?
The biggest challenge I've ever faced in my life?
No, biggest challenge I've ever faced.
Yeah. I think probably, there's so many challenges I've faced.
Stump the chump.
I guess the biggest challenge I've faced when I look back on it was, when my father passed away when I was six and a half, just how I approached things after that, not having an old man and how I moved around when I was young, from Maryland to when my mom remarried, moved to Ohio, and didn't know how I was going to react to my new father. My mom was smart enough to let him.
You were pretty lucky, though, right? And I mean, you call him your dad, right?
To this day, and he's gone. But yeah, because mother let him raise me like I was his kid, and I owe being Butch to him because he butched me up. Otherwise, I'd been a little wussy preppy, and not in his house. You know, I was 14. I was playing Babe Ruth softball, and I was home from school for about 2 weeks in the summer. And he comes in. He used to come back from the concrete block plant for lunch every day.
Right.
And he says, okay, after lunch, we're going to go get your school clothes. And I had just gotten my work permit at 14, and I wanted to be a lifeguard or hang out at the swimming club pool and look at wahinis. Mm-hmm. I get in the car. He says, a little early. He says, that's all right. We get out to the block plant. I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the shotgun of the station wagon. Dad goes in. I says, how long are you going to be? He looked at his watch, looked at me, and says, well, we'll leave here about 5:30 or 6. I said, I thought we were going to get school clothes. He said, you see that wheelbarrow, that shovel, and that broom? Start cleaning the yard. You get 75 cents an hour. And I went, okay, Dad. So, just like washing dishes in the kitchen to head up to be a chef, I started cleaning the yard, painting pallets, and worked my way up to driving a truck with cinder blocks on them and delivering them and unloading them, and then driving the tow motor, forklift, and stuff. Yeah, that was. Probably the highlight when he just treated me like his kid. Mom didn't make him walk on pins and needles around. When my dad died, she was pregnant with my little brother, and my sister and I were just around. She was three, I was six. So, it was life experiences. But I've always been positive and had a good outlook on life. You know, there are things that always upset you and piss you off, but that's okay.
Where would you be without him in your life? And here's why I say that, Kim, because, it's pretty interesting, discussion that we have.
Yeah.
on a regular basis about things that we see in life. And one of the things you see in life is a lot of parents are afraid to give their kids what they want. They want what they need. They want to give them what their kids want. And as a result, you know, you reach the age of 20 and nobody's really said no to you. And now it's time for you to go to work. Time for you to experience the real world. Well, if your helicopter parents haven't allowed you to experience it, then that's a pretty rude awakening when, what do you mean I can't be 10 minutes late? But I was, you know, my alarm didn't go off. It wasn't my fault, you know, and people look and you get fired. And so it's interesting, you know, to hear, you know, stories of what, you know, what works in life. And again, a friend of ours, a gentleman by the name of Greg Lotus, I quote him all the time now. Life without consequences takes you nowhere. Takes you absolutely nowhere. True. Yeah, no, I mean it does. And if you're raising kids and there are no consequences, your kids are going nowhere. And if you love them, then you got to hold them accountable and you got to produce good people. So it's kind of interesting, you know. Your answer is right along those lines. He made you accountable. He was not easy on you, and in the end, you know, those are the great gifts. Right, that one can give another person is the gift of discipline, the gift of respect, the gift of hard work, all those things that are so integral to becoming a success in life.
Yes, yes. And without his being my dad, I certainly wouldn't be the man I am today. I never met you or done the traveling I've done. I'd probably... My uncle owned a Cadillac, Pontiac, Datsun, well, Nissan dealership in Hagerstown, Maryland. And I, you know, when I got out of hotel school, I could have, he offered to front me in a McDonald's.
That might not have been a bad gig.
Well, would have changed my life for certainly. To be extremely wealthy, because that was the first McDonald's in Western. Well, I think it might have been Maryland.
Do you remember? So we're going to talk food now here for a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you? Well, kind of. Do you remember the first time you had McDonald's French fries?
I do. I was in prep school. I must have been about 16. And we were going to a basketball game in Morristown, New Jersey. They were a big rival with us. And we're coming back, and we pulled into this McDonald's. The coach knew about it. I didn't know what the hell it was. He said, oh, it's hamburgers and French fries and vanilla shakes are great. So, and that time, hamburgers were 15 cents a piece. And French fries were maybe a dime or so. And you know, back then, you're eating machines.
Right.
So, you know, you could eat 2, 3, 4 of those puppies. And you couldn't spend a dollar at a McDonald's. It was a pretty good, and then a few years later, the big boy came into fact.
Yeah, Bob's big boy all over the country. So tell me about the first time you had their French fry.
Well, it was on that trip, and we were coming home, and I had that McDonald's French fry, and I said, "Oh my God,
what is this?
This is God food."
That is so funny.
I didn't know what a French fry tasted like. I don't know that I've ever had. I had ever had a French fry.
What?
No. My mom was a militant about no pop in the house. You could have, if you're sick, you could have some ginger ale. There was orange juice, lemonade in the summer, or Arnold Palmer's. She was a monster Arnold Palmer fan. So she would make a pitcher of Arnold Palmer's. That's half tea and half lemonade. And I grew up drinking that kind of stuff. And only when I was in high school did I venture away to other types. Dr. Pepper was my go-to drink when I was a kid.
Well, you know, now that I think about it, where else would I have had a French fry? It's not like they made baked, you know, they were frozen food at that time. So that would have been really the only place you had them was at the drive. And you know what? When we went to McDonald's, I mean, that was like, that was a training highlight. That we, because it did not happen very often. And when Kathleen got us all in the car and said, we're going to McDonald's, oh, my God, it was a huge, we were so excited. And then, you know, and then we start acting up or something. And she just looked at us smoking her cigarette saying, really, do you not want to go? We would get correct so fast. It was ridiculous.
Church mouse quiet.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me? And, you know, we didn't, we were kids and we didn't really understand the rearview mirror. And we really didn't understand, like, how does she know what we're doing in the back seat when we're fighting? You know, we're fighting back there and we're not making a whole lot of noise and there's not a lot of movement. How does she know that we're fighting? Like, what the hell? Like, she's got eyes in the, that's what she should tell us. I have eyes in the back of my head. Don't think I can't see you.
Yeah.
Does she? She looks like she has hair back there, but maybe she does have eyes. How else would she know? Oh, my God.
Well, I tell you what, that was, you couldn't do anything in the car. And we used to go to Indianapolis from Hamilton, Ohio. It was about an hour and a half drive from back then when it was all two-lane highways. And we had a station wagon and sitting in the back seat, there was the three of us. And we'd get in argument and stuff, and just being brothers and sister, and pretty soon Dad pulls off the road.
Uh-oh.
And said, Kim, get in the back. I said, there's no seat there. He said, too late now. What do you, just shut up and get in the back. So I'd crawl over the back seat and be on that in the back end of the station wagon with all the luggage and stuff. Then I learned pretty quick not to mouth off.
And no,
whoever was mouthing off got the ride in the back.
And no seatbelt. There wasn't any seatbelts in
the belt. They couldn't spell it.
In the car.
You know, no such animals as seatbelts.
No.
And I remember, it's just, they were amazing.
No, I was, going out to dinner was such a big deal in our family, and
it was such a
treat. Anyway, we're talking, Kim turned 73 this week, and we're happy birthday, and just reminiscing a little bit. What are we going to talk about relative to food today?
Well, we're going to talk about Easter hams.
Easter hams. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break, and then we'll talk Easter ham after that.
Yep.
Now, there's a hockey game. The University of North Dakota men's hockey team is one behind the University of Michigan. University of Michigan is 9-time national champion. University of North Dakota is 8-time national champion. And they play this afternoon. So a big game between University of North Dakota and Boston University that travels out. And they're playing in a rink that's relatively small, about half the size of North Dakota's normal rink. But the best part about this rink, it's got a low, flat ceiling.
Yeah.
And the noise stays in this thing. And it is...
It's like the original Ralph Engelstad.
It's like the... Since nobody knows what that is, it's just like a... It's like Thunderdome, and so the big game today. So we're a little bit fired up for that as well. So on a Friday,
and when you have a hockey game, and they played there 2 years ago, and Bob and I went, you're sitting in this arena, and each school, there's four schools. This is the Sweet 16 we're in now. There's four schools. Each school gets 400 tickets. Well, nobody, the St. Cloud was the only team close that was playing there. So the arena was filled up with about 95, 96, 97% Sioux fans. So UND hockey fans.
UND hockey.
And it was the noisiest I've heard it since the, Canadian-Russian World Junior Championship game, when the Ralph sounded like this. And they are loud. And they'll have to be great this afternoon for that, because they play BU, and that's not an easy team. They've got...
All right, hold on. Before you do sports analysis for us, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk Easter Ham here.
Thank you, Ned.
You're welcome. We were going to do Stewart's right around McCullen there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Minutes after 8 here on the West Coast, 11:02 on the East Coast, and where the birthday boy is, it is 10:02 here on a Friday morning as we head into the last weekend of March and April soon upon us. So the one other question, we're going to talk Ham. All right. I don't want to get distracted. All right, so...
what was one of the questions?
No, I'm not going to tell you. If I wanted to talk about it, I'd talk about it. So... maybe another time. Let's talk about ham. First of all, before we talk about preparation, what kind of ham do I buy?
That's beautiful. That's the first note I have up on my big reader board.
I love when we're like this.
There are three types of ham you could buy. And they're all, well, most of them are cooked hams. Some are not cooked, so they'll take an hour and a half to 2.5 hours to cook, depending on its size.
Okay.
But we have a boneless ham that's had the bone taken out, and it's all tied together. Well, it's just wrapped. It's in a wrapping. Then we have a bone-in ham.
Right.
And then we have a spiral ham with the bone in.
Okay. What about the one Kathleen used to buy that came in a can that you pulled the key off and stuck it in that little kind of a thing, and then you twisted it around, and it looked kind of like an oval with the bottom cut flat, and it had a bunch of jelly on it? What about that one?
Okay. That is a very well-salted product. It's like a whole, I used to call them pressed hams, because they press it all into a can. And some of you folks know a pressed ham is somebody's bare ass on a window. but.
you thought that was funny, didn't you?
Yeah, that was funny. It just came to me. You're so inspirational, man.
That's what Kathleen used to make. Kathleen used to make that ham.
So did my mother.
She used to put some brown sugar on the top of it and a couple slices of pineapple. And that was, hey, we're having ham tonight. Ham, and ham was I won't say always, but most of the time served with scalloped potatoes.
God, just what I was going to say. Way to go. I grew up eating the same thing. Ham with scalloped potatoes, peas.
It was delicious.
Right? And those hot cross or no, not hot crust, but these, Pepperidge Farm flaky biscuits that she opened up that cardboard thing,
yep.
A spiral, twisted it, and then put these raw biscuits on a baking tray and slid them in the oven 20 minutes later.
Boom! Yeah, we're eating.
Biscuits. Oh, mercy, testify.
That was ham. That was ham back in the day. All right, so which one are we going to talk about of the three hams? Would you prepare them all the same way, or which one are we talking about?
Yeah, you can do them all the same way, and I'm going to give you a couple of ways to do the ham.
Okay.
And there's also one other thing. That is a fresh Virginia ham.
Virginia.
They're usually heavily salted, so you have to dunk them in salt water or in cold water in a kettle like you do your turkey, and this pulls the salt out. It's going to be 2 inches above the ham, the water, and it'll pull the salt out, and then you rinse it and pat it dry, and then you can start preparing it. Now, my favorite ham is a bone-in ham, and they're usually pre-cooked. We're just going to assume that all the hams today we're talking about are pre-cooked. So a bone-in ham, and the reason I like a bone-in ham, is with the bone, after you get done finishing the ham and carving the ham off, and there's still some stuff on there, but you save that bone for split pea soup or throwing it in with a big batch of collard greens. And that's real good. Okay. But anyway, that's all. And now we're going to do pretty much my favorite version of a smoked ham. But first I saw this recipe for a baked ham that had 2 cups of brown sugar,
ugh,
1/2 cup of cognac or bourbon. And you mix the liquid with the brown sugar together, and then you rub it all over the ham. But first, regardless of what ham, which preparation, you put the fat side up, and then you take a knife and you score in a diamond pattern. You take the knife and you run it across one way, usually about an inch thick, deep. And then when you come back to finish the diamond, you do about an inch and a half deep. And then you have these little triangles of fat on the top, and they let this stuff we're going to put on the ham soak in to the meat, and then that fat crisps up, and it's ever so good. Oh, mercy. So, and you know, it's just the way it is with me, folks. But, the ham is killer this way. But, we're going to take, after we score the ham, we're going to take in a separate bowl, you're going to mix, 2 cups of brown sugar. I like 1/2 cup of Dijon mustard, but most everybody uses yellow mustard. Or you can use a brown mustard, a horseradish mustard. That's your call. You throw that in with a 4-ounce can of crushed pineapples, and then 2 cups of apple juice or apple cider Or you can also use pineapple juice. I like the apple. It just helps balance the flavor out a little bit. And then you mix that all up. And then there's two ways we can put it on a V-rack, or a rack, not a V-rack, but a flat rack that lifts it off. So if you want to make some ham juice and stuff, then you put another 2 cups of apple juice in the bottom of the pan. That'll create some steam, and then all this coating will drip into that juice, and then you take like a teaspoon of cornstarch, and you thicken it up. You don't want this sauce to be too thick, but you smear this mixture all over the ham, top to bottom, all around it. You mix this together, and then you know what a clove is?
Yeah, I do.
It's okay. You get whole cloves, a couple of tablespoons of whole cloves, and probably 1 tablespoon will be enough. 1 tablespoon of whole cloves, and where the fat has been cut around, you stick in each top of the triangle, you stick a clove. And this is after you've coated the meat all over, inside the grooves and everything. And then you put these cloves in, and then you put it in the oven, and you bake it for an hour to an hour and a half. Because remember, it's cooked. You want to heat it up all the way through. You don't want to cook it too long. There you go. And that is the easy preparation for the ham. And it's absolutely phenomenal. It's a great, most everybody uses brown sugar in their mixture, and because that caramelizes really nicely. And man, if you put some liquid, and instead of apple juice in the bottom, you can put some white wine, like a half a bottle of white wine in the bottom, if you're going to do it for an hour and a half, otherwise a few cups. You want to keep the bottom, you don't want it to burn, so you have that liquid for the drippings to drip into and flavor the liquid you have on the bottom of the pan. Or you don't use a rack, and then you just sit the ham and then pour the liquid around it. And either way, it's okay. It's no problem if it doesn't get brown on the bottom. That's a preference call.
Right.
That's however you want to do it in your house.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah, I think it's a real good way to do it. You don't need the rack, but I wanted to give you an alternative.
Right. No, I used to love hardened. Because it always held a lot of, I guess, brown sugar in it, and it just tasted so good with the ham, and that was the highlight, eating around the edge of the skin. It was I love that.
Yeah, and it gets crispy, and it's just so good to do it just right on the bottom of the baking. Tray, you want 2 to 4 inches sides on this ham in the pan, 2 to 4 inches high, so things don't splatter and the juices stay in, And then you take the ham out when it's done. You put it on a cutting board and put a foil tent over it and let it rest for 10 minutes. And also, everyone, just like our turkeys, our steaks, or whatever we're cooking here, you pull the ham out of the refrigerator, two hours before you start dressing it, so it gets to room temperature.
We love that.
And then, because if you don't, then you're going to have to cook it longer, and if you cook it longer, you might burn the sugar on the outside because the center hasn't been warmed up. So you follow me how I'm doing this?
No, we're with you. And it's already pre-cooked, so is there a temperature that you should get it to? Since, you know, I got my handy meat thermometer sitting right here.
It should be 125 to 135. And you cook it at 325 degrees.
Okay. All right. So, but I want the internal temperature at 25 to 35.
Yeah, 125
to 135. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
That's pretty easy. I mean, hard to screw that. It's hard to screw up because it's already preheated. I mean, it's pre-cooked.
And what you're doing is you're heating it up, and you know you want it hot. You want to get that brown sugar caramelized, and with all the things in it, the mustard is real good. You can taste it, but it's not
overpowered.
Not a dominant flavor.
Right, I'm with you.
Okay.
All right. So ham. Now, what do we? Do you have a scalloped potatoes recipe? Because that's the favorite, man. That's the go-to.
Yeah. For me, scalloped potatoes means you take the potatoes, you slice them about 1/4 inch thick. You soak them in cold water to get the starch out. Then you pat them dry. Then you put them in you mix them with sliced onions. And then you put it in a greased pan and with cream or milk. I prefer cream. I don't even go to milk. I want that flavor. I want that rich flavor. And you can throw some cheese in there, grated cheese, and mix it all in with this before you pour the cream over it.
Okay.
And then the cream will soak into the potatoes and get all bubbly, and you cook it covered and cook it for at least 45 minutes to an hour. And then when it starts to bubble up, then you take the foil off and you brown the top.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh.
Okay, now what kind of pan? Is it a rectangular Pyrex pan, or how do you cook it? Because to me, the larger kind of the pan and the thinner it is, the more of that crust you get. And I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. My mom always, and I'm sure yours did too, did a glass Pyrex baking dish, like you're going to do a upside-down, pineapple upside-down cake in.
Right.
That kind of dish. A metal one will do fine, but I think that the glass has to be thick enough, or if it's a La Crusette, which is cast iron with enamel coating, you want a heavy-duty pan so it doesn't burn the bottom and the edges.
Okay.
And you have to thoroughly butter that, and then you put some butter dollops on the top. And when you're tossing it up dry, the onions, the grated cheese, and the potatoes, I generously use a lot of black pepper when I mix it up before I pour it into the baking dish. And I also use...
All right, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Text question. Matt, can you ask Kim why the potatoes are soaked in water before making scalloped potatoes?
Well, after you peel them, if you just let them sit there, they turn brown. To peel them and throw them in water, cold water, it takes the extra starch out of them, and you don't have to. You do not have to, because that extra starch also helps make them creamier. I'm just giving you the healthy way to do it, but it's not necessary. You just don't want you do the potatoes fast so they don't start to turn brown, and then you mix them with everything, and you'll be okay.
All right.
Is that okay?
Well, yeah, it sounds all right to me.
Okay.
All right, but it's basically a colorizing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Event. Okay. No, that makes sense.
And it's one of my favorite potato dishes.
Well, you know what? You and I have spoken about this before, but there's some things that just seem to go together, right? And one of the recipes is my mom's recipe for steak in the bag with carrot casserole. Right? I mean, just the complement of, I guess that's the art of putting together dishes, but the complement of those flavors is absolutely makes a wonderful meal. And I think most of us, scalloped potatoes with ham is one of those wonderful combinations that I think a lot of us have grown up on, but we don't love it because we grew up on it, because we ate, a lot of people ate liver and onions too, and there's no fondness for that that dish, but this one has a great compliment. Here's another text message. Don't forget about bean soup with ham, my favorite use of the ham bone. So talk about the use of the ham bone now.
Well, I mentioned that at the start of this riff.
Right.
You save your ham bone, and if you're not going to make soup for a while, you just chuck it in it'll stay fine in the fridge for a few days. Or if you're planning soup a month away, throw that bone in the freezer and pull it out, let it thaw out, and then you put that ham bone in the soup pot with your split peas and water and some onion, and you make split pea soup. Bring it to a boil, let them cook. The soup gets green, and that ham bone flavor. Not to make split pea soup without a ham bone in it is a sacrilege, folks.
But she's not talking about split peas.
Unless vegetarian.
The text message is talking about bean soup, right?
Yeah.
Soup.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
It's all right. It's your birthday. It's your birthday week. You trained hard last night. We're okay with it, man.
Yeah. Bean soup. That also is spectacular with ham bone. In fact, that's what you need to make a good bean soup, is that ham bone. And then you'll be in the front row also. And then another way to use a ham bone, and also cube up some, the end pieces or something that you don't use. And that you're not going to make ham sandwiches with the next day, or the next 2 days, and then cube it up And until you make that soup, throw that in the freezer too. So you have little chunks of ham. After the soup has been cooked, you can throw that ham, those ham cubes, little cubes, you know, quarter of an inch around, when the last half hour you're cooking the soup. And that'll help flavor the soup a little bit more. And it also won't overcook the pieces of ham, and you have little chunks of ham in your soup. Now, another way to use a ham bone smoked, and they're usually, the hams are usually smoked.
Right.
And, which is what you want. And a half a ham weighs 10 to 14 pounds. And that's what you also want to use. You throw that bone in the pot, and then you put collard greens and fill it up with water. And the collard greens, you have some water in the bottom of the pan so they don't burn when you start this show. And then that will create the steam that shrinks. And you really pack the collard greens in the soup kettle or whatever you're using. And then they'll shrink down and they'll cook down to about a third of the original volume. And you throw some onions in there, and that you cook for a couple hours at least. And, you know, you bring it to a boil. And then you put the lid on and turn it down to medium-low and just let them cook for a few hours and then stir them every once in a while. And you can taste them, and they get tender and melt in your mouth, delicious veggie. So
here's another text message. I use black beans, purple hulls, pintos, and great northerns. I also added a pound of crumbled bacon. Yum, yum, yum. Just made it last week. Does bacon make everything better?
Absolutely. There is no way. If I could invent a bacon aftershave lotion, I would. I tell you, everybody want to be nibbling on your neck.
Bacon is, honestly though, I mean, it's one of those things that has such a unique taste. And I don't care if you drop a little bit into, name a soup that doesn't taste better with some bacon in it. I mean, even things like clam chowder and things with, you know, kind of a cream base. You put just a little touch of bacon in there and it tastes so good.
You know what's nice to do with that, those kind of soups is, you take, some bacon, you cook it so it's crisp, and then you dice it up, and that's what you garnish it with, so you have a crisp bite of bacon, and it doesn't cook long time in the soup. You can put some bacon in there for flavor, but you want to cook it first and make it crisp, and then when you garnish with chopped bacon, then you have that extra bonus of a crisp little nibble of bacon. And that's exceptional.
Hold on, let me read you another email. Mac, does bacon go on things, you think? Bacon and maple syrup. Bacon on any salad. Any salad, any day, any time makes it taste better. But my favorite, bacon or sausage with maple syrup, is to die for. That with pancakes, what a wonderful breakfast. I love bacon. It's one of God's gifts to the planet relative to taste because of its wonderful flavor. Yum, yum, yum. Oh, and by the way, my favorite sandwich, bacon, lettuce, and tomato, or turkey, avocado, and bacon. enjoy the show, getting hungry for lunch right now. But you know what?
And don't forget a club sandwich. Ham, turkey, roast beef, and bacon. Yeah, it's just, you know, you can have just a bacon sandwich.
A bacon. You know what? My dad used to make those for breakfast.
Yeah, I believe.
I'll still make them. So it's just bacon with a piece of toast, but the toast has a lot of butter on it.
Yeah.
And then you put a couple pieces of bacon in it, and it was
the
best.
You don't put a couple of pieces. You put about 4 to 6 pieces of bacon. Come on, let's get real here.
See? Well, that's what he used to do. He used to give us, maybe he put 4 to 6 on his and he gave us 1 to 2. Here you go, boys. Here you go, kids. Have at it.
His rap would be, break the bacon in half and then you get a whole sandwich covered.
There you go. That's what he did. Bake them in half. That way it fits better in the bread, right? So yeah. He's only using 2 pieces of bacon and we're getting 4 pieces. We're in the front row, man. We are in the front row. And then he just crushes his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what's good, too, is a bacon and fried egg sandwich.
Yeah, that's, oh, you know, those are, there was a place outside of Camp Pendleton on the back side that used to do that. And you would, you'd go there and there'd be trucks lined up everywhere to get in that place. I mean, like semi-trucks parked across the street in a lot. And here's this shack of a place, and they're making egg sandwiches. And they threw everything about the egg sandwich. And most of it was bacon, avocado, and then all kinds of crazy stuff. But it was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
And my mom used to make me, when I was a youngster, egg salad with crumpled up bacon in it. Oh my God. on Wonder Bread. Because that was the only bread when I was growing up.
Wonder Bread. It was the only bread. Man, are you kidding me?
It builds your body 8 ways.
Yeah,
you know?
8 strong ways with all those balloons, man.
I love it.
And then you found out, like, white bread's not good for you? Like, what do you mean? I've been sucking that thing down like honey the whole time.
Yeah.
No, that stuff is too funny. What about the, what else? Somebody says, hey, Mac. I kid you not, I'm sitting here salivating at my desk.
Good. That's our purpose, folks.
I'm sitting here salivating at my desk. And the things that you're talking about. However, what conjured into my head was a wedge salad with either blue cheese or ranch dressing and a small mountain of bacon on it. Does that make it not healthy?
Anything you put bacon on makes you healthy.
Because it makes you happy is healthy, yes?
Yes. That's all it is. A happy tummy is a healthy tummy.
That's right. Being happy is part of being healthy, man. No, a nutritionist.
A wedge salad without bacon is also a sacrilege.
Yeah, come on.
And a blue cheese dressing for a wedge salad has got to be thick. And not runny. If you put a blue cheese dressing on, it's like, the only thing I can equate it with is snot.
Oh, come on. How about egg yolk?
Oh, God. Egg yolk?
You're welcome.
Whole eggs. Yeah.
No, I meant the consistency as opposed to us discussing snot.
Oh, yeah. No, you want it thicker than that. You want it like heavy sour cream
yogurt
kind of thing.
Like a yogurt.
Yogurt's a little too thin.
What? You want blue cheese that's thicker than yogurt?
No, it'll work. Yeah. Okay. I like a mixture of mayonnaise and sour cream in my
on your what? On your wedge? Mayonnaise,
on my wedge.
Mayonnaise and sour cream? And blue cheese.
Lots and lots. And it's got to be crumbles, not just pounded bitty pieces.
Yeah, I don't like that. Crumbles. I don't like that. I can take blue cheese, but the cheese itself, when it's chunky like that, that just knocks me off my chair. I don't care for it. I like a mild blue cheese. And so you say you mix sour cream and mayonnaise with it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's more mayonnaise than sour cream, but it gives it a little texture. And the blue cheese, it goes real well with the blue cheese.
All right. No, that sounds tasty. Now we're on a discussion about bacon. email says this, hey, Mac. And now one of the wonderful things about modern food is you can go and you can buy to either a deli or often a lot of supermarkets have it. You can buy those thick cuts of bacon. So it's no longer this bacon cut razor thin. It's like a thick slice of bacon. I love that stuff, man. Give me my bacon thick and my women hot. What the hell? Where did that come from? but that is true. You go to just a regular supermarket, and you'll see a plethora of different kinds of bacon.
Yes, and then also they have whole sides of bacon, so you can get them cut as thick or thin as you want. And the way they smoke bacons now with maple wood, maple syrup. It's just exceptional. Smoke it with apple wood.
Here's another one. Yeah. Mac, my favorite is going and getting your own bacon cut. If you go to your butcher, you'll only have to do it one time, and he will give you the setting off his slicer.
Yeah.
And once you know the setting off the slicer, then you're in the front row. You get great bacon. It is sliced the same way every time. It's absolutely wonderful. So my recommendation, bacon's too important to buy at a supermarket. Buy it at a delicatessen, buy it at a butcher shop, and get it cut appropriately. To taste.
Amen, brother.
To taste. Yeah. I like my bacon cut at about a half inch.
A half an inch?
That's not bacon. That's a steak. That's a pig steak. That's a pig steak.
That's called pork belly.
The half inch slice of bacon. Oh, that would be hilarious, man. Wow.
Now, folks, you don't throw your bacon in a frying pan on high. You cook it on medium heat, and you turn it several times because you don't want to burn it. You want it crisp all the way through. And those of you who don't want it crisp all the way through, then you pull it off when it's done.
Yeah, I like it. I like a medium bacon. I don't like it crispy, falling apart style. Does that make sense?
I don't want it. I don't want it. Crunchy, but I like a little crisp snap to it.
Okay. I don't think we're that far away because we had this argument once about, do you like it crisp? But I like it. It's got to be firm, but I don't want it. Like, you know how you can get bacon where you bite it and then it falls apart?
Yeah.
That's well done, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so maybe we're not that. We had a big fight about this once, and we're kind of making up in public right now. But that's what I'm a fan of that. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Email question for you. Mac, does Kim prepare his bacon a certain way, being a professional? Does he use a frying pan? Does he use a flat fryer? with an edge around it is I am a huge fan of bacon. I make it every Sunday for my family. Is there a better way to make it as a big fat, I'm sorry, is a big flat skillet the best way? How do you make it? I've also read that people bake bacon. I've never done it myself that way, but Kim's thoughts. Okay, first of all, if you're going to fry it, do you have a preferred surface to fry on?
Cast iron skillet.
Cast iron, does it matter if it's rectangular or round?
Does not matter. You know, when you get to the round part, the corners of a round skillet, sometimes you cut those bacon, the raw bacon in half, so it, you can pack more in the skillet.
Got it. Right.
But you don't cook it at high heat. You cook it at medium heat, and it cooks a little slower and gets nice and crisp. But unless you don't care if you like it soggy, then just throw it all in a cast iron skillet and have at it. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not either. It's a medium cooked bacon with. It's got a little bit of crisp to it, but it's not going to crumble when you eat it. So
that's right.
So that gets you, we think, pretty close. And everybody's got their own taste, so it's cooked to taste. What about baking bacon?
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Oh, well, don't get pissed. I know it's your birthday, but don't think your birthday's a Visa card to come on here and get belligerent and all butch and everything, okay?
Hey, it's one of the great things that we discuss is bacon. I mean, it's God food.
It is God.
Now, what I did at the restaurant, because we did baking sheets full of bacon, like I do in 18 by 30 inch baking sheet. Your oven's not big enough for that. You need wind ovens. So you get a half a baking sheet, and that has about an inch side. And do you know what parchment paper is? You can go to
the grocery store and
get parchment paper.
Yes.
And when you have that baking sheet, and if you're going to cook for more than, you know, 8 pieces of bacon, you want to use a baking sheet because then you can load it up. And what you do is you put a piece of you cover the bottom with parchment paper, and then you lay out your bacon. And then you take a piece of parchment paper and you cover the top and you kind of press it down so it sticks a little bit. And then you bake it at 350 degrees. And it'll crisp up to whatever way you want. But that's what I do. I did it for the restaurant. When I have guests over here, for our oven, we have a half sheets. So sheet pans, they're called. And you do it that way. And then you can get a couple dozen pieces of bacon on there.
Couple dozen.
And that should make you happy.
Okay. Wow. I've never done that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was your preferred way.
Well, it is when I'm doing for a party or something. Okay. Otherwise I pull out the cast iron and have at it.
Okay.
And I cook it on top of the stove.
Right.
But I mean if you're doing a big group, or maybe you want to make some bacon for sandwiches later, or nighttime snack, or lunch, or, you know.
Or just hanging out and want to make some bacon, any of that. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, hey, I've got another text message. Do you remember the lady who you gave the key lime pie recipe to?
Yes.
All right, she said to say happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And she did like that pie, didn't she?
Oh, no. Like would be the inappropriate term.
Oh, okay.
She loved that pie.
that's Miss B's forte, is that key lime pie.
Muy delicioso. Muy delicioso.
She does the baking.
I got another email. It's actually about your wife.
Yeah?
Yeah. It says, hey, Mac, I'm kind of curious. And this is from somebody who's listened to the program before. My understanding is that Kim's wife was in the beauty business, but she seems quite the foodie. Is that true?
Yeah. When I met her, she was a beautician. Well, not a beautician, but she cut hair. And she was exceptional, but I'm prejudiced.
Right.
But she was also, by then, a great cook, because she grew up in a family of seven kids. And her mother, like your mother, was a great cook and did all kinds of interesting things. And she learned how to bake, how to do everything. And now, a little story about my wife. We're on our second date, and she invited me over to watch a movie and have appetizers. And so I thought, oh, I'm sure. You know, what's that going to be? And so I show up, and here is this platter that's about 18 inches long, about a foot wide. It's an oval, and it's got egg rolls. It's got wings. It's, and what else, Beth?
Meatballs.
Oh, meatballs. It's just... I was blown away, and I said to her, I almost got thrown out right there. I said, where did you get this? And she looked at me, and she said, I made it. I said, egg rolls? How in the hell? She said, I've been making them for years. And I was just blown away, and I said, I am in so much trouble. This woman is beautiful, and she can cook like a mofo. And I thought, oh, baby, here we go. It won't be long before I'm a fat boy. But, yeah, she...
So she is a foodie, though, even though she wasn't in that business.
No, she started out as a foodie because that she had, you know, she cooked with her mom every day. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's see. I've got one more email for you.
Yeah.
Hey Mac, I only know Kim from here on All Marine Radio, and I have to say I have tried many of the recipes. One of my favorite was the salmon sandwich that got put in the Cuisinart. That was to die for.
Salmon cakes, yeah.
Salmon cakes. I also have tried the crab cakes because I am a crab and fish aficionado. They were absolutely, positively delicious. So please extend a happy birthday from an All Marine Radio listener who's recently met him, and many, many more. 73 is halfway to 146, so God bless him. So. Yeah, there you go. halfway to 146. Boom. What else? So, any other big plans for your birthday?
No. I think I'm gonna be very nervous, about the hockey game today.
Right.
And we've got a tough one with BU. And then if we, when we beat BU, then we'll probably play Duluth tomorrow night.
Which I think is the best college hockey team in the country.
I agree with you. And they've beat us five times this year.
Yeah. The last get time was last weekend with 57 seconds left in the game after a crazy penalty field game. But, but you know that, the University of North Dakota hockey program has is a storied one, but the better part of it is they have just great people involved in it. And, And it's awful. Kim has known those guys for a long time. They used to come in his joint all the time and eat. The opposing teams would come through. So he met a lot of college hockey people and then a lot of young guys who would, you know, ultimately make their living in the National Hockey League. So it's a lot of fun. North Dakota has no professional sports. Extremely proud of the North Dakota State University football program that, was dethroned this year. But, five time consecutive national champion, at the football championship series. But that's a relatively recent phenomenon. The University of North Dakota men's hockey team has been a national power since the 50s. And has been an incredible source of pride throughout the state, and so it's always a lot of fun this time of year when the NCAA, in addition to having the basketball tournament going on, and for the first time in the University of North Dakota's history, their men's basketball team that just went Division I a few years ago played in that tournament. So a couple of big weeks, but the hockey team, this is expected. This is expected where. That they get to this part of the season. And big game this afternoon against Boston University, the Terriers. So awful lot of fun. Awful lot of fun. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. And that joint rocks. I'm just telling you, like you said earlier, with that low roof,
with that low ceiling. It's awesome. It'll be, I was reading that the Boston University players were extremely excited to play because they had heard about the atmosphere that surrounded the regional playoff 2 years ago. They heard it was crazy. And so, you know, and I don't care if you're, when you're a player, to play another storied program, in a venue like that, it's what you, you know, it's, and what they were saying is, hey, it's why you come to BU to play in games like this, and we're excited. We know it's going to be a home game for them, and it's going to be a crazy environment, but we're excited as all get out to play in it, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So,
it'll be a great, great weekend of hockey.
Okay. And then, another email. Hey, Mac. Can I go back to bacon for a second? I don't know that we can get away. Does Kim have, and then in parentheses, the guy who just emailed about the bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich made me think of this. Does he have a cool recipe for bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich? Kim, how do you make your BLT?
Well,
it's got to have avocado too.
No.
What?
Not. Well, yes, you can add avocado, but the true BLT is just that. The tomatoes have to be ripe and fresh. And you cut them maybe a quarter inch thick at least so they hold together. And you use head lettuce. I like just head lettuce. I don't like it shredded. I like to... put lettuce, tomatoes, and the bacon on top, and you have to toast the bread. I think that's important for me.
What kind of bread? Wonder bread?
No, any kind of nice wheat bread or white bread.
Okay.
Something a little bit more substantial than Wonder Bread. So it holds up to that. And you have to lather both pieces of bread after they come out of the toaster with mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
Lather, okay, is the operative word.
Lather. A delicate flour. Lather. That puppy up. And then, when you lay your lettuce down, then your tomatoes, then I personally like to take pepper and do a generous twist because I use a pepper mill. So they have whole peppercorns and it grinds the pepper when you use it, not pre-ground. But if you don't have a pepper mill, it doesn't matter. But pepper and just not much salt, but just a teeny weeny weeny bit. Just I have a salt mill too with the Himalayan sea salt, and I grind the salt too. It comes in chunks, and that's it's a pink salt, and that's true. But not too much because the bacon is salty. So you just want to bring out the tomato flavor a little bit. And that's all. It's so simple. Now, if you want to jack it up, you can throw a slice of your favorite cheese on there. Avocado is an excellent addition, and I would put the avocado on top of the tomatoes. And slice them, not too thick.
Yeah, avocado can make a sandwich messy. So you got to figure out a way to slice it so that it maintains its form. Otherwise, you got stuff going on everywhere, right?
That's right. And if you're concerned, you can put the tomato on top of the lettuce. I mean, the avocado on top of the lettuce, and then the tomatoes on top of the avocado.
Yes, you got to confine the avocado. That's in my opinion, that's the issue. You got to be able to make it so the avocado is confined and doesn't leak out the sides, which makes a mess.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on
and
that.
You'll get all the flavor in addition, Rush, if the avocado is not too thick when you slice it.
You know, I think that's the key thing is how you slice the avocado. If you just kind of scoop it out of if you scoop it out of the avocado and put it on, I think that's a bad move. I think you got to get the cut it in half, pull it apart, use a nice little knife, and cut yourself some nice little slices. Lay it on top. In my opinion, lay it on the top of the bacon, tomato on top of that, lettuce on top of that. That way, you vise that avocado in there, and I would say don't overload with avocado. Do not overload with avocado. That's just
and if you want, you just brought something to mind to me. You can spread a little guacamole for your avocado hit on the lettuce. And
you see that more and more in places. You see kind of a guacamole spread or an avocado spread by simply straight avocado.
That's right. Yeah.
Interesting.
And,
all right, Mike.
I think that's great. Okay.
So, birthday, 73 years old. Did you ever think you'd get to be 73?
Oh, no. And, I don't know if I've told this story to your, listeners, but when I was 70, I had all my friends, I had about a dozen people I've kind of grown up with in my adulthood, 30 or 40 year friendships, flew out from the East Coast. I put them up at the townhouse for the weekend. I paid for all their food and drink and stuff. And Saturday night was my birthday. So when they were leaving the table, as they passed me, we were going up to the bar to have cocktails after dinner. They each dropped a $10 bill in front of me. I said, I got kind of indignant. I said, I got the tip. Come on, man. This is my weekend. You guys flew out to hang out with me. I loved it. And one of my friends says, oh, hell no, Holmes. We all lost the bet. You're still alive. That's how we treat each other, with a little disrespect is the best way.
That's funny.
And pull each other's chains. So we all started laughing. And I said, you sons of a bitches. And went up and had a good night. But I didn't think I'd be 70, 73. Now it's 74 and looking for more, baby.
There you go. All right, one final email, and then we'll let you go. Mac, please extend to Kim my heartiest happy birthday. I've only grown to know him by listening to All Marine Radio. I love his recipes and his sense of humor. Wishing him all the best on his birthday. I appreciate him coming on, and it does make Friday a little bit more fun when I know I'm going to hear about food. It gets me thinking about what we're going to grill over the course of the weekend, and I love having him on the program. So all the best to him from a whole bunch of Marines out here who love to eat, and I'm sure have tried his recipes. So Semper Fidelis, have a great weekend, and look forward to hearing another one of his recipes next Friday. I've really enjoyed the bacon discussion. I'm going out now for lunch. I live on the East Coast, so it's, what, 12:01 right now. I'm going out for lunch. I'm going to have a BLT, and they better put a lot of bacon on that damn thing. Have a great weekend and happy birthday. So happy birthday, my friend. And
thank you, Mac, and thank you for having me on your show all these years.
No,
it's been kind of it's one of the things that keeps me young is hanging with you, little stud.
A little bit of Tinkerbell.
Yeah, baby. Keep ringing it.
No. I will talk to you in a little bit. Have a nice lunch.
I will. Take care. Thank you, Mac.
No.
Goodbye, Marine. Have a great weekend.
There you have it. P. Kimball Holmes, the All Marine Radio Chef. We're going to take a quick break. The Gunner joins us next here on a Friday. We'll see if Mike has a BLT recipe. He's a foodie. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.